it's Luke. Game one wasn't what we expected from the Phoenix Suns, so will they be able to get it together for game two? We're getting you ready for Suns Timberwolves tomorrow at 10 a.m. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports.
We just wanted to show that we was the most desperate team tonight. Nothing about number one or number two or number three. These guys came in here and whooped us in our home court the last game of the season and was giggling, laughing, you know. I mean, like Bill said, he told our coach that he don't think we play hard enough, and he was right. You know what I mean? Like, Finchie didn't like that. He came in the next day and was like, man, you got guys on the other team telling me that y'all don't play hard enough for me. And he was totally right. Like, we was out there just running around, let them doing what they want to do, man. And that's a great team, man. All three of those guys, they're great players, man. It's going to be hard to beat these guys. We got to bring it every night. It's just one game. They're going to be ready to go the next time we play them.
Anthony Edwards, after the game on Saturday, as we welcome you back into the Burns and Gambo show, Suns drop game one, 120-95. And by no means is the series over. It's just one game. Suns have responded to this in the past. They lost the opener last year against the Clippers, then won the next four. But Anthony Edwards, boy, as if it had been foretold by the national media, look out, here he comes.
No answer.
National coming out party, and it happened, right?
He was enjoying himself going at Kevin Durant.
Sure was.
Enjoying himself. I'm going to take this step back three. There was this one play. I remember rewinding it and showing it. Like, you got to see this move that this kid made. This, like, he was incredible. He shot 14 out of 24 from the field, 4 of 8 from deep, 33 points, 18 in that third quarter. Was unstoppable in the third quarter when they doubled their lead to 20 from 10 to 20. Tied with Sam Cassell for the most in a quarter in T-Wolves playoff history. He was sensational. And this kid, we know how special this kid is. I think coming in, we're like, oh, the Suns have had some success. They were able to slow him down. They shut him down three games in a row in the regular season. They've got his number. Different story in the playoffs, man. Different story in this playoffs. This kid took his game to another level because he's got that ability to do it, and a lot of them don't, and he was a special player in that game.
Bradley Beal afterwards.
I think it was in the third, honestly. I think that's really when he got going. I think we did a really good job of just containing him and just making him take tough shots early on, and then I think he was just way too comfortable in the third. He just got a lot of open looks, was able to get to the basket, and they just kind of opened up Pandora's box from there. You know, you can't let a superstar get going off two shots, you know, and you know, it's over with from there. You know, you're trying to stop a hot man. At that point, we have to be better collectively, accepting that challenge, because he attacked everybody, you know, so we all have to be ready for that challenge and making sure that we're in the stands ready to go and force him to make a lot of tough shots. He's going to make some, but you got to tire him out, make him work for him.
I'm looking at my notes here in the third quarter, and guy, he scored in every way. He scored with the mid-range. He scored on the drive. He hit the three-pointer over Kevin Durant. He scored with a spin move. It was like, what do you want to take away? He scored driving to the basket. He scored on a three-pointer, and he scored in the mid-range. Like, he was hitting you at every single level. Like, he was really dominant in that third quarter.
And there was another element to, and not to get, like, too nuts and bolts about this, but there was another part of Anthony Edwards' game that we were talking about a little bit on Friday, and that was his ability to get other guys involved. He assisted on a basket during that 21-5 run at the end of the third quarter to really pull away from Minnesota. There were two separate occasions in that game where the Timberwolves scored back-to-back threes off of back-to-back Anthony Edwards assists. And that was the part that had really been missing from the game. There was one time in the third, and I think one time in the second quarter where it happened, where it was back-to-back threes that were, and I don't know if it was part of the 21-5 run or not. I just remember from my notes, I have to go back and look and see exactly when it was, when Minnesota hit back-to-back threes, both of those threes were assisted by Anthony Edwards, and they did that twice. And that's the part of his game that, quite frankly, was missing during the regular season against the Suns. It was too much him. It was too much iso ball. He wasn't trusting guys. The Suns were able to throw two defenders at him, and he wasn't able to make the play and get the ball out. I think Saturday, once he started figuring out, hey, I can get it to you and you're going to make the three. I'm going to get it to you and you're going to make the three. That opened up things for him where he could do basically whatever he wanted to do out there. It was like it all came together for him. And unfortunately, the Suns had to pay the price. He's a superstar. He is an absolute superstar in this league.
Yeah. He hit the three-pointer over KD that made a night. He hit the first three-pointer over KD. 47 seconds left, put him up by 16. And then that was off of a Booker miss. And then after an offensive foul by Drew Eubanks, he had another three-pointer over KD to make it a 19-point game. And you can just tell, like, he was, that's his favorite player. Like, Kevin Durant's his favorite player. Like, he gets to go up against his face, and he's trying to show him, like, hey, man, look how good I am, too. Like,
yeah, and we're going to talk about that a little later, too, yeah. Because that was obviously, you know, everybody was kind of, and certainly from a national perspective, boy, that was a big talking point. I tell you, and we mentioned him earlier in the show. I feel like now's a good time to bring him up, too, and that's Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert was a minus 68 against the Phoenix Suns during the regular season. In game one, he was plus 19. He was a different dude. They couldn't play him off the floor. The Suns tried to go small.
He hit free throws.
The Suns did everything they could to make Chris Finch take him off the floor, and there was never a reason to. How a guy can go from minus 68 in three games to a plus 19 in the fourth, that those two things, Anthony Edwards and his playmaking and Rudy Gobert's ability to not be a net negative on the floor, those are the two things that will win the Minnesota Timberwolves this series in a New York minute if the Suns don't figure their stuff out.
Well, that's why everything about tomorrow's game to me is on Frank Vogel. What are you prepared to do?
What are you prepared to do?
You just saw them at their best. You've seen now that's their blueprint for success. What can you do differently? Do you play Bol Bol a little bit more?
Yep.
Do you not play Eric Gordon if he's not going to make a shot?
Yeah.
Like, I know we're going to talk about the bench in a minute here, but like, you have to make adjustments if you're Frank Vogel. They had a week to prepare for you, and they were ready. You had a week to prepare for them, and they weren't ready.
Yeah.
So now you've got three. You had two days between games, two full days off. What adjustments is Frank Vogel going to make between games one and games two?
Yeah, but look, the series is far, far, far from over. Far from over. Suns can win tomorrow night, and they do. The narrative completely shifts.
Yep.
I remember this. I remember feeling this way about the NBA playoffs the last 3 years since we've been on this ride with them like this, is that after every single win, you feel like you're never going to lose again, and after every single loss, it feels like you're never going to win again.
It's a roller coaster,
right? It really is.
Emotional
you lose a game like that on Saturday, and you think, oh, they're screwed. They're done. And then I promise
just go to Twitter for overreaction. Fire Vogel. Booker stinks. They should trade him. KD's going to want out. I mean, it's one game, guys. Relax.
Relax.
Yeah. You want to see overreaction? Just go on social media after you lose game one.
Yeah, but if you want to see overreaction, I'll tell you what, coming up in a few minutes here, we'll play for you some of the national reaction to Anthony Edwards and the game that he had. Holy smokes. Now that's some overreaction. I mean, there are like open comparisons to Michael Jordan in the national media.
Called the GOAT.
it was strong, man. It was like a strong shot. You're kind of like, woof.
Man,
I did a chaser after that take, man.
It's pretty good. Who's the most important person you could call? Michael Jordan.
Text us your thoughts on
my top person.
Yeah. Well, your top person would probably still be pretty.
My top person would be pretty good.
Yeah. Beats the hell out of my top person.
Who's your top person?
Like if I called somebody tomorrow and I look like the biggest, most superstar, it wouldn't be that big. That's fine.
You'd be like, I got Bob Melvin on speed dial. Bob Melvin getting kicked out of that game yesterday.
My batter is better than your batter.
Thanks, Mitch. I appreciate that. Text us your thoughts on the FanDuel text line at 620 right now. In the playoffs, the rotation shrink, and the guys that you do play off the bench, the extra emphasis is on them. We talk about the numbers game. The Suns got their butts kicked in the bench game. And what are they going to do about it? That's next. Burns and Gambo.
D-backs at Cardinals. Pre-game coverage this afternoon at 4 on Arizona Sports 98.7 and the Arizona Sports app.
Yeah, we'll consider everything. But I like Eric Gordon, and I like the threat. And at any game, he can go in. If he goes 0-for-5 tonight, he'll be 5-for-5 next game. You know, he's that type of player.
I was Frank Vogel on Saturday on Eric Gordon. This is Frank Vogel on Saturday on Grayson Allen.
X-ray's negative. It's an ankle sprain, and we'll see how he responds, with treatment over the next few days.
Suns currently, Gambo, listing Grayson Allen as questionable for Tuesday's game two with a right ankle sprain. X-rays are negative. They cannot afford to be without him long in this series. They need him badly.
He was the best three-point shooter, and he didn't have a good game. Obviously, was 0-for-3, struggled. But you can't afford to be without one of your top six seven guys in these playoff series. They hurt. When you have an injury like that, it can hurt. So that's a big blow. Lakers are without two of their key guys, have been out for a while. Like, you know, you see these injuries happen and it's tough. I thought New Orleans did a great job without Zion. Should have won that game against Oklahoma City. Should have won that basketball game. Just couldn't make shots at the end, but they had them. They had Oklahoma City. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander made that big shot. But yeah, I would think that, you know, Grayson Allen's going to bounce back and have a good game. He's a great shooter. He'll find his rhythm. He'll get a couple open shots. I don't want to be without him because, again, then you start Royce, but then that really hurts your bench a little bit more because then who are you going
to
play?
Well, then you're going to have to dig a little deeper, right? And then you're probably, if we're just being honest, we're probably talking about Bol Bol minutes. Now, Bol Bol minutes have been a whole lot better than any of us would have anticipated at the beginning of the season. So I don't know if I'm totally uncomfortable with putting Bol Bol out there.
I thought he earned a spot in the rotation in the playoffs, and obviously he didn't play until garbage time, so I was a little disappointed in that. He's been able to be a factor, you know, for them in a lot of ways. The bigger problem might be, the hell are you going to do with Eric Gordon right now?
Yeah, that's...
And what are you going to do with Eric Gordon?
And that's why I played that soundbite first. He's 11 for 51 over his last several games from three. He is. We've ridden the roller coaster with him all season long, and we're clearly on downslope right now. And we've experienced this before. Like, we've... A couple times this year where you just... He's riding it. And right now, he is absolutely riding the roller coaster in terms of his down slump. And Vogel at least left open the idea that maybe he'd be willing to do something different about Eric Gordon. But if he doesn't have Grayson Allen, you're going to have to play Eric Gordon.
Because you need a shooter, and you're going to have to hope it. But he's in a slump. You pointed it out. What is it, 11-game slump?
11 for 51 in his last...
In 11 games.
In 11 games, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not very good. It's really bad. And he was terrible in this game here. You need to make shots now. Look, I don't think Eric Gordon's a part of this roster going forward after this year, but they brought him in. He was a good veteran minimum signing for them. He's a good player. He's been a good player for a long time. I don't think, I think if you play him, I think he'll find a way to contribute. But the question right now for Frank Vogel is, what other options do you have? What are your options? Do you play Josh Okogie a little bit? I mean, I might want to get somebody out there that can play some defense, give me some toughness.
Idea. You could, yeah.
But if you don't have Grayson Allen, you lose a shooter. If Eric Gordon's not shooting and you're going to replace him, Josh Okogie's not going to score for you, but he can give you some of that hustle and that toughness that I think you may need against a team like Minnesota
defense that you lack very, very much. I would think he certainly could become an option to get 10 to 12 minutes at some point during game two if you don't have Grayson Allen. It's funny because this is, to me anyway, like they kept saying it during the postgame show on ESPN. Hey, Minnesota. Size and depth. And the Suns, we've all known they don't have a whole lot of depth, right? Like, it got better
with Royce O'Neal.
It got better with Royce O'Neal. It got better with Bol Bol. It was pretty obvious the Suns could go 8 deep comfortably, 9 deep comfortably. But the players that Minnesota offers off the bench are just so much better than the players the Suns offer off the bench, especially when Eric Gordon is 11 for 51 in his last 11 games. Nikhil Alexander-Walker was tremendous.
18 points, 4 steals.
Naz Reid was tremendous in that game.
He was a plus 22 in the game.
Yep.
Plus 22.
He was great. And when you're rolling that quality out, it once again kind of puts the focus on the big three for the Suns. The whole idea about the Phoenix Suns basketball team is that their three are better than your three. And their three are going to be so much better than your three. It doesn't matter how good your fifth guy is. It doesn't matter how good your seventh guy is. Our three players are going to be better than your three players by such a wide margin. We're going to render your depth irrelevant. But none of that happened on Saturday. None of it.
But that is the way that James Jones envisioned building a team in the beginning.
Was the depth. Yeah.
Was the depth.
Yep.
I'm going to build a team that may not be better than you 1, 2, or 3, but we're going to be better than you 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That was the way James Jones originally built a team. We're going to throw Jay Crowder at you. We're going to throw Campaign at you. We're going to throw Cam Johnson at you. We're going to throw Dario Saric at you. We're going to throw Frank Kaminsky at you. Like, you think about all the players that they've had. Sure. And his goal, because he only had Booker at the time, and the goal was, we're going to, and then they got Chris Paul, but their goal was to be better than you with the depth, And now they're kind of the reversal. Now they're trying to be better than you 1 through 3, and they're not going to be as good as you with the depth.
And what happened? Dallas happened. The Maverick series 2 years ago made the Suns look at the plan and go, you know what? On second thought, we need stars. We need more stars. We need more top-end talent if we're going to win series like this. And depth is great, but we need our better to be better than their better. And we're going to go get Kevin Durant. And they doubled down on that with Bradley Beal. And once they committed to this different vision of how they were going to win basketball games, they kind of committed themselves to this vision where depth is just not going to be as relevant. It wasn't going to matter as much. We saw depth punch the Suns in the face on Saturday. So it's going to come back to the big three doing big three things and being elite. And if that doesn't happen, I mean, and that's why the Grayson Allen thing, it's important, and I don't want to minimize it, but they can overcome it if their big three do what was envisioned of them the minute they went and got them.
Score 85 to 90 points and your big three.
I make it sound like it's easy. It's not easy, but that's one of the paths, especially if you don't have Grayson Allen.
But you can't have, Royce O'Neal had a decent game.
He did.
The rest of the Suns bench was 2 for 13 from the field.
Yeah.
2 for 13. Now, again, like, you know, you can't play your 5 starters the entire game. Bench players, guys are going to have to come in and play a little bit, but you just need more from what you're getting out of those guys.
Not only am I worried about Eric Gordon shooting, Eric Gordon defensively, I think, is a really bad matchup in this series. He was struggling to cover guys out there.
Well, he's
really
strong. He's not strong, and he's not big. He's a scorer. He's a shooter. He's another guy that could shoot the basketball.
And he's
well.
Another guy that I thought, like, Booker and Beal can figure out how to get to the rim, even with Gobert down there. And the Suns missed a crazy amount of shots at the rim in that game Saturday. Almost like the game wasn't a fluke, but the Suns' results at the rim, that was a little fluky. They'll be better than that at the rim, I think, in future games. But Eric Gordon, he can't get to the rim against this team. Everything he's going to do is going to have to be from distance. I don't think he can get to the rim against Booker can. Beal can. I don't think Eric Gordon gets to the rim against the Minnesota Timberwolves. And that takes a facet of his game away as well, because he can drive. We've seen all year long. He can drive.
Going into the series, we thought that, you know, that's Minnesota's strength is defending the rim, but the Suns are great at mid-range shooting. Don't go to the rim that much.
Yeah.
But Eric Gordon has to knock down shots if he's going to play.
All right, we got some games coming up in Phoenix in this series. Lauren, why don't you hit the thing for me, will you, please?
Arizona Sports, all in for the Suns in the playoffs.
All right, once per day in the 3 o'clock hour, we're going to give out a code word, and you need to text in the code word, and you could be headed to a Suns home playoff game. Suns fan, your code word of the day, defense. As in, the Suns need to pick up their defense if they want to get back in this series. Text defense, D-E-F-E-N-S-E, defense. It's a 620-620 right now. Enter your info and you could be headed to a Suns home playoff game. Tomorrow on the Bickley Murata Show during the 8 a.m. hour, listen for your next Suns code word. But for today, the code word is defense. Text it to 620-620 and you could be going to a Suns home playoff
game. There you go.
When we come back on the Burns and Gambo Show, a changing of the guard in the NBA. If you listen to some of the national experts, yeah. That's exactly what's going on in the Suns-Timberwolves series, and that's next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Arizona Sports 98.7 and the Arizona Sports app. Burns and Gambo talk Suns-Timberwolves now.
Anthony, when you're out there with Kevin Durant, can you see or hear the playoff experience that he has? Do you sense a level of poise that you hope to get through
some games? Yeah, man, did you see him in the third quarter? Like, I felt like we were supposed to be up 15-18 in the third quarter early. If I'm not mistaken, he made 4 or 5 straight buckets, like it was nothing. And I became a fan at one point. Like, I was out there like, God, he nice. Like, it's nothing we can do. It's nothing we can do. Cat was playing great defense. Rudy was playing great defense. And it's just like, he don't see you. Like, I'm looking at his stat sheet. He was 11 for 17. He missed 6 shots and had 31. He's just, I mean, he's the greatest to ever do it, man. He's big, big. My hat tips to him. He's the best.
That was Anthony Edwards.
Listen, that's, you're not going to get any bulletin board material there. Some people may take exception to the, like, when KD smiled at him, when Edwards was just pumped up, but I don't think that there's anything to that. But he's right.
Say something. How? What do you mean? Like KD shouldn't be smiling at him.
I got you. Like, all right, okay, young buck. All right, you know, you're all happy now, but all right.
Okay.
I'm going to store this in the back of my mind. But Edwards said all the right things about Kevin Durant, and he is right. If you go look at the third quarter, Durant hits a mid-range shot to make it 61-56. Durant hits another mid-range shot over Gobert, 64-58. Durant hits a three-pointer, 69-61. Durant hits a mid-range shot, 71-63. Now, after that, he hit two free throws, and it was a five-point game. From that point on, it was a five-point game. It was all Minnesota
show. Yeah, it was.
Right,
it
but was Durant the was the only guy that was doing anything to kind of keep them in that game in that third quarter.
And something I meant to mention earlier, and I'm kind of borrowing this idea from Kellen Olson. He wrote about this over the weekend, but I do agree. Kevin Durant having a game that he had in some ways, not that it was bad or he was bad, but I think the Suns were very intent on feeding KD the ball a lot in that game to try to take advantage of some of the mismatches that were there. And that goes back to that assist number for the game, 16 assists. There was no ball movement. It was very stagnant. And I think part of that was because Kevin Durant was the only one out there who was really getting anything done for the Suns. And you could almost see the Suns like, carry us, KD. And that stopped the ball movement. That kind of ground the Suns offense basically into mush. And it kept the ball from popping around. Not that KD scoring 31 was a bad thing, but certainly him being the only one that was scoring was a bad thing because nobody seemed to trust anybody else to do anything. Yeah,
how many shots did he take in the second half? I don't think he took a whole lot. He took only five shots in the second half.
And probably most of those came in the third quarter.
In the third quarter, because he made four baskets.
Well, probably because the game was done by the fourth quarter, too. They were down 20.
They emptied the bench with about 3.5 left.
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't much of a game to come back from at that point. They were just trying to get other guys involved. The Edwards moment was fun. I mean, if you're a Suns fan, there was probably nothing fun about it, but certainly them jawing at each other, it was fun. Edwards, after the game, said trash talking KD was one of the best feelings of my life, and I'll let him explain why.
A little back and forth with Kevin Durant there in the third quarter. How fun is that, and what do you make of the atmosphere tonight?
I think everybody here knows that's my favorite player of all time, so that was probably one of the best feelings ever in my whole life, for sure.
Yeah, I'm hitting shots over my favorite player of all time.
Yeah, I don't think that there's anything to take out of it. Durant is just smart. He said so many great things about Durant. I don't know if there's bulletin board. Listen, for the Suns, you don't need anything. You got your asses handed to you.
Exactly.
Show up tomorrow, play better, go get a win, even the series, take home court. Like, that's it. And you know what's at stake here. Lose tomorrow, and you put yourself in a position where you've got to win 4 out of 5 games. No, very little margin for error. Very little margin for error.
It's been done, but you don't want to make a habit out of doing it. It's really hard to do. Now, Anthony Edwards, and you could have predicted this one, on ESPN Today, Stephen A. and others just raving about Edwards.
You look at them right now, and yes, you like what you see, their size, their depth, their defensive tenacity. But when you accentuate that with a star blossoming before our very eyes that is putting the basketball world on notice. Excuse me, my last 5 playoff games, Anthony Edwards, 41, 36, 34, 29, and today 33. 34.6 points per game in the postseason. The brother's something special.
When you play with
he's something
done.
Special.
Remember, I mean, we rattle off a couple of things on Friday. That Devin Booker was one, that Anthony Edwards was 1-11 when playing Devin Booker over his career. Okay, that's number one. Mm-hmm. And number two, there was that breakdown position by position of who had the advantage. And even though the Minnesota newspaper gave the Suns the advantage in the series and said the Suns in six, they gave Anthony Edwards the advantage over Devin Booker in this series.
Yeah, I took a little exception to it.
You did. And that's why I brought it up, because you're like, are you sure? And I'm like, I think Anthony Edwards is the better player right now than Devin Booker. Maybe Devin Booker has accomplished more, but Edwards is a force of nature.
He's a physical freak.
They're comparing him to Michael Jordan. That's that whole rant from Stephen A. was this idea like he's doing Jordan-esque things out there. Is that really how we're going to frame up our conversation about Anthony Edwards?
Stupid to say that now where they haven't been out of the first round of the playoffs.
Seems like it.
You have to have
more than success, what Anthony Edwards
over
has.
More than one team in the playoffs to be in that conversation.
This is Kendrick Perkins on First Take today.
He's the 89 version of Michael Jordan. He's the best
young leader that's a superstar in the entire NBA. They have an identity. They're not going to back down from anyone. Kevin Durant knows that. Devin Booker knows that. And he's going to constantly remind you and show up in great fashion. And again, they have home court advantage. Right. That's a huge thing. They've established identity on that home court. The fan base has been phenomenal. They haven't been this relevant since Kevin Garnett. So when I'm thinking about the Timberwolves, led by this young superstar in Anthony Edwards, the Phoenix Suns, they dead bird tall grass. Minnesota winning this series, and the Suns know that.
Oh, here's one more from Perk.
And the Suns know that.
Here's one more from Perk.
When I'm looking at the Minnesota Timberwolves in this series against the Suns, all season long, the Phoenix Suns had their number. And the last thing you want to do, if you have an enemy that's sick, is give them some antibiotics. And that's exactly what happened the other night. They gave this team antibiotics, and they gave this team, led by Anthony Edwards, confidence, who don't need confidence.
Carry on.
Michael Jordan, by the way, was 28 years old when he won his first championship. This kid's
22.
He's been in the league for 4 years. Michael Jordan was 28.
And I'll give Perk credit. He did say this is 1989 Michael Jordan. So like right before they went on the run, you know, when Jordan had kind of established himself as this offensive freak, but the team's success wasn't. So at least if I heard it right, Perk sort of established the parameters of what he was talking about a little bit. But look,
he's counting out Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, Nurkic, Grayson. He's counting these guys out.
And that to me is where, okay, I get it. Everybody wants to christen Anthony Edwards as the next this and the next that. Kevin Durant is still a superstar in this league. Devin Booker is still a top 10 player in this league. It does seem maybe not disrespectful, but certainly premature to say this series is the Anthony Edwards coming out party. Oh, let's see.
He's got to do it again.
He's got to do it again. And he's got two top 10 players he's got to do it up against. Now, admittedly, one of those top 10 players had a very forgettable game one and has a lot of responsibility on him in game two to make up for that. But to just already say, oh, that's it. Baton has been passed. The torch has been passed. It's now Anthony Edwards. Let's chill on that until we see how game two goes and see how specifically Devin Booker responds to the challenge that's been put in front of him. Because Devin Booker is one of the top 10 players in this league, top 11 players in this league.
Well, I put this on Vogel to figure out a way to get him going and to make the adjustments to make this a different game.
No doubt. We've got the Burns and Gambo Show podcast. You can subscribe right now on your iPhone or your Android. You'll never miss any of our show, the Burns and Gambo Show podcast. You can listen whenever, however, wherever you want. It's brought to you by Carol Has the Buyers, your home sold guaranteed realty. Diamondbacks set to begin a new series in St. Louis. Who's going to be available? The latest on Merrill Kelly is all coming up next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Arizona Sports, the home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball. We're checking in on the Diamondbacks as they warm up for the game's first pitch. D-backs on deck, brought to you by Sonic. Drive to your nearest Sonic location for the Oreo Big Scoop Cheesecake Sundae for a limited time only at Sonic. And by 72 Sold. 72 Sold. Get a higher price for your home.
Diamondbacks on deck as the D-backs get ready to take on the St. Louis Cardinals. The first of a three-game series that begins today. We're going to be cutting out a little short today here on the Burns and Gambo Show to bring you that game. Pre-game coverage at 4. First pitch is at 4:45. We'll be back with you tomorrow straight up 2 o'clock. Let's talk about D-backs baseball right now, Gambo, as they are in St. Louis to take on the Cardinals. Pitching matchup for tonight's game. Brandon Pfaadt getting the start for Arizona. The right-hander 1-1 with a 5.32 ERA, coming off a very good start his last time out against the Cubbies. Lance Lynn, the 37-year-old right-hander who's off to a good start so far with St. Louis. 1-0, 2.18 ERA. But we all know what we think about when we think of Lance Lynn, don't we?
We think of all those home runs that he gave up, and he was so good at it when he pitched for the Dodgers last year. He's got a team-leading 2.18 ERA for the Cardinals. That would rank him 8th in the NL if he had enough qualifying innings pitched. He's coming off a win against Oakland last Tuesday. He went 7 innings. innings, threw 100 pitches. They won that game 3-2. It was first win in a Cardinals uniform since going back to 2017. So he's done a nice job for them. He's a veteran pitcher. He knows how to pitch. But yes, we all remember the Diamondbacks just really pounding him with all those home runs.
In game 3 of the National League Divisional Series, Lance Lynn went 2 2/3. He gave up 4 home runs, 6 hits, 4 runs total, walking only one, or striking out only one, walking none. It was the game that sent the Diamondbacks into the National League Championship Series against the Philadelphia Phillies.
Popping champagne in the clubhouse after that one.
That's right. That was, of course, the famous Gabriel Moreno home run, foul ball, fine, I'll hit another home run just to be safe, right?
Right.
As far as Fott goes, he gets the start today. His last time out against the Cubs, as I mentioned, he was good. He went 7 innings, gave up 6 hits, 2 earned runs, no walks, and struck out 6 against Chicago.
He was dominant in that game. Keeping the walks down for him is a big deal, but able to go a little bit deeper in the game. That was fantastic. We know he's got electric stuff with the fastball. He had struggled in his previous start, so to see him get right against the Cubs, that was a good sign.
Diamondbacks over the weekend split a 4-game series against San Francisco, and there's no doubt the biggest story to emerge from those 4 games, other than Jordan Montgomery's very successful debut on Friday in that 17-1 win, was the latest injury to Merrill Kelly. Mm-hmm. And I'll update everybody right now. The injury report is brought to you by Wilderness Athlete. Accelerate your recovery with Hydrate and Recover from Wilderness Athlete at wildernessathlete.com. The latest in this, and this comes from Teo Mackey, who is on the road with the team in St. Louis. Merrill Kelly, and I'm reading word for word from his X account, Merrill Kelly is not yet going on the injured list. He's getting a second MRI back in Phoenix today before a determination is made. Tommy Henry is here on the taxi squad, potentially available tomorrow, depending on what the move is with Merrill Kelly. He was not able to make that start on Sunday. Slade Ciccone had to get called up in an emergency fashion. Very good yesterday against San Francisco, but obviously, whether it's Eduardo Rodriguez or Paul Sewald or Alec Thomas or Geraldo Perdomo, now Merrill Kelly, Ryan Nelson with his injury, it's starting to get almost comical at this point how many injuries are piling up for the D-backs early in the season.
Yeah, it's almost like, you know what? It's like the baseball gods said, we forgot about you last year. There weren't that many injuries last year. There's a couple, but not a lot. A lot. This year's been devastating. That's why you just got to survive. You split with San Francisco on the road. You know what? I'll take it. Don't lose 3 out of 4. Don't get swept. You'll take the split, especially with Ciccone being able to come out and pitch that well in that situation. So it's tough news for Merrill Kelly. Hopefully it's not bad. Can't afford to lose him for any long period of time. But right now, you just got to keep your head above water as best you can.
Yeah, Ciccone did do a really nice job. And Merrill Kelly is somebody, obviously, they couldn't afford to lose for very, very long. Over the weekend against the Giants, we saw Zach Gallen really struggle for the first time this year. Gave up 5 runs, 9 hits, and 5 innings on Saturday night against San Francisco. Corbin Carroll, he's really wearing it right now. He is in the middle of a 22-game stretch in which he's hitting about 220 so far to start the season.
Great catch in center field yesterday, too. He had a great catch in the outfield.
3 extra base hits so far this season for Corbin Carroll, to the point where Troy Lovello is openly asking questions to himself. Do I need to move him down in the lineup? Do I need to do something to help him take pressure off of himself? What do I need to do to make things easier on Corbin Carroll? Because he is not off to the kind of start anybody envisioned.
No, I mean, you know, sophomore slump, I don't know. Rookie of the year last year, he was fantastic. He worked on some things with his hips. A lot of guys just always try to work on new things, and you just wonder if that was a factor. Could you just be a slow start? I mean, again, it's April 22nd. I mean, there's no reason to ring the panic bell right now, but it is tough because he is your catalyst. He is your catalyst for everything you do offensively.
.216 batting average so far this season. He's still getting on base at a decent-ish clip, but his slugging percentage, .273 so far this year. There has just been absolutely no pop from him whatsoever. Other injuries to keep everybody updated on, I want to bring these up too. Troy Lovello said today, Paul Sewald will pitch tomorrow in Reno on a rehab assignment.
Okay, so he's really close.
Really, really close. Blaze Alexander, a little discomfort in his hamstring. He is available off the bench tonight.
Hit that big grand slam.
Yep, and a couple doubles that day, too. No structural damage for Blaze Alexander, but his hamstring is a little tight, and it sounds like he's more of an emergency-type basis tonight as well. So, once again, the injuries continue to kind of pile for this team.
Yeah, it's been challenging, to say the least, which is why, you know, you look at the record and you're like, this team was in the World Series last year. They should be doing better. I get it. But just try to survive these first 6 to 7 weeks till you get everybody back, the reinforcement back, and then start playing better baseball.
All right, that's your injury report for tonight's game. Let's get you an update on the roof report for today's game.
D-Back's Roof Report on Arizona Sports 98.7 in the Arizona Sports app. Brought to you by Renco Roofing. Over and above for 20 years and counting.
No roof in St. Louis, but no worries. First pitch, game time temperature expected to be about 66 degrees, cloudy, and a little bit windy. So that is your roof report for today's game. Let's get you a key to tonight's game, shall we?
Listen, man, I need you to be the key master.
I am the key master.
Arizona Sports, the home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball. D-backs keys to the game. Driven by Trucks Only, the Valley's number one independent dealer and home of the lifetime engine warranty.
Keep the streak going. The Cardinals have not homered in their last 8 games. It is Major League Baseball's longest active homerless streak. The last time they homered was in a win against Arizona. The pitcher, Brandon Pfaadt, who gave up home runs to Lars Nootbaar and Nolan Arenado. They went yard off of Brandon Pfaadt. So keep the streak going. They have not homered since that game on April 12th. 8 straight games.
Maybe my favorite name in all of baseball.
Lars Nootbaar.
It's going to do it for us. We're out of here. D-backs pregame coverage is coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow straight up 2 o'clock right here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Have a great night, everyone.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.